Good morning, everybody. Before we get started, two things. A lot of people do a lot of work to keep this church going, and two have been brought to mind to give a little bit of recognition to. Chris Fisher and Shane Peachy, they, through the will that God has given them, they muscled that sound system into existence. And I know a lot of people had a part in that, but I just want to give them a round of applause this morning for getting that done. So. And I know Shane isn't here today, but when you see him next week, if you just tell him good job, he'd probably like that. Now, second, and more importantly, Tim Schaefer really wanted to be here with us this morning. So he's got a copy of the church directory, and he's going to be going through that and calling each of your cell phones to see whose phone is on. And if yours is on, you get to come up here, and he gets to say hi to everybody. All right? So, my name is Anthony Willis. There's a picture of us. For those of you that don't know me, or I haven't met, I'm sorry, and I will try to do better to say hi and introduce myself. We normally sit here in the front section towards the back a bit, my wife and our three kids. And it's nice with a pastor. You get to learn their speaking style, how they preach and everything. So I thought it was only fair that I guess I give a few disclaimers about myself so that you get to know me a little bit better. The first is that on Sundays in particular, I'm very good, or at least try to be, of making it look like everything in life is going well, when in fact, every day is a constant reminder of how much I do need Jesus and how grateful I am, how patient he is with me. The next one is courtesy of my wife. She lets me know that sometimes I'm unemotional, which can be frustrating to her. And my kids tell me that when I'm reading or speaking, I can be monotone, especially with their bedtime stories at night. And whenever they tell me that, I say to them, "I do not understand what you are saying. Does not compute." So, all right, even though I may come across unemotional or monotone at times, the truth is that I love all of you very much. For the simple fact that we're here to glorify God and praise Jesus. The last one of these is that I'm up here speaking. And any assumptions that come along with that, because like Jesse said, truth is, this makes me very nervous and often brings out my childhood stutter. And fun story, first years of school in Philly, my stutter makes it so that I can't say words that start with A. That's a problem, huh? My name's Anthony. So whenever anyone would ask me what my name was, it would be, I'm Tony. So for the first 2 years of school in Philly, I was Tony because it was just so nervous. So I apologize if any of that comes out. And to make this even more fun, I'm coming off a week of nights, a little bit sleep deprived. So this is going to be fun for all of us. All right. So here we go. That still small whisper that God speaks to us in, I don't know how many of you have come across it or heard it, but I know there's been times in the past that I haven't listened, and every time I walk away with regrets. So I've learned to listen now when he's nudging me, even if it means leaving that nice little spot out there I've got every Sunday. Being up here now gives me a whole lot more appreciation for pastors than doing this every Sunday, and an appreciation for that safe spot I have out there each Sunday, because it looks like a warm blanket on a cold day right now. It is just, it's nice. So, what was it, Chris? Maybe like 4 or 5 months ago at this point, God was nudging me and he's saying, you know, if a Sunday becomes available, why don't you get up there and speak? I'm like, I don't know that you got the right person. Maybe you want somebody else. And I kind of felt like Gideon towards the end of Judges 6, where he's laying his shirt on the ground and saying, "Hey God, why don't you make that wet and the ground dry?" No, wait, you know, why don't you make the shirt dry and the ground wet now? And I've just been amazed at his patience with me through all of this. And he kept nudging me and kept nudging me, and I said, okay, fine. You put all of the pieces in order, and I'll get up there. And he put all the pieces in order. So here I am. Now, when it actually hit me that this was going to happen, the first thing I thought is, what place do I have to be up here? So many of you could probably teach me a thing or two. And I didn't go to school, got a degree to earn being up here. I haven't talked at any conferences. I haven't had any leadership roles. And further I went down this path of, you don't deserve to be up there or any of that. I was reminded of two things. One is that humility, one thing I've never fully understood is prayer and healing and how those things work. Why does God use some people to heal, but he doesn't use others? Why does it have more impact, it seems, when more than one person prays? And does it matter what we say when we pray? Does it matter how long we pray for? I have no idea. But I am just glad that God gave us his truth and promises, and that those are stronger than my ability to understand, and that through the Bible, he loved us enough to tell us those, and all he asks us to do is to trust and believe him. I think before we go any further, it'd be good to draw some lines, just set up some basic truths that we can fall back on in any situation. The first is that God works all things for good for those who love him, Romans 8:28, and then in John 10:10, Satan comes to kill and destroy. Jesus comes that we may have life more abundantly. God is for good. Satan is for evil. I know it sounds basic, but when our world is turned upside down and not going our way, we can misappropriate blame. And it makes me think, when we blame God for the bad things in our lives, it's like a kid getting mad at their parents if someone were to break into their house and take all their toys. And I've gotten mad at God a lot of times in the past for letting somebody else take my toys. But I've learned that Satan loves when we do this. He loves getting to hide in the shadows, being unseen, and going about his business. But we need to call Satan out and place the blame where it belongs. Satan is to blame. So many times in the Bible, we see where God has worked Satan's efforts for good. First, he tried to take Adam away from God. Jesus still came from his line and saved all of humanity. We see again when he tried it with Job. On the other side of Job's struggles, God blessed him beyond all measure. And then he tried it again with Jesus to take him away from God, and that was the ultimate upset. And now all Satan is left to do is try and take each one of us away from God. But he's just spinning his wheels, and I just keep thinking of the saying that all Satan has left to do is just rearrange deck chairs on the Titanic. The outcome is set. He's been defeated. He's done. And we're saved if we choose to trust Christ in any situation. Here are the few of the more well-known verses about prayer and healing. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Matthew 18:19-20, again I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am among them. John 5:14-15, is anyone sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So when things get personal and threaten our lives or those we love, it gets really tough to focus on the basic truth that God is good. Why do some people get sick and not others? Why does God heal some people, but others have to keep suffering? Why does it seem that some people get to just skate by, essentially, and others just struggle after struggle after struggle? We can keep going down that path of questioning why, but we were never meant to question God or fully understand. And we don't need to go any further than Job, when he did that to God, to realize that that's not what we are here for. And so as tough as it is when the difficult situations come, the question to ask is, what were we made for? Why are we here? And in Isaiah 43:7, we're told we were created for God's glory. And we show God glory by following his commands. If you are one of the lucky few that made it through so far without any devastating loss or personal threat, that's definitely something to give glory to God for. If you have been healed, that's a tremendous testament to God's grace and love. But what about when we're not seeing healing? What about when things just aren't getting better? What does that mean? Why? Like, if God can do anything, why? And it usually goes back to Jesus as having set the example for all of this. He asked that the cup be passed, taken from him. But even more importantly, he trusted the Father's will for him. And the bad things on this earth weren't taken away. He had to go through the struggles. But on the other side of that ultimate struggle, that most severe thing that any of us could imagine going through, all of humanity was saved. And so Thessalonians 5:18 tells us, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will. Even if we feel like we have nothing left to give or any purpose left, remembering this truth can make all the difference. So, how many of you have heard of ALS? All right. And what about Lou Gehrig's disease? Maybe a few more of you have heard of that. Essentially, what happens is that you get paralysis in the extremities, progressing centrally, and ending in lung paralysis within 2 to 5 years of diagnosis. I had to look him up on my phone, but I finally found him under Brad, ALS patient, Christian. And I remember the first time I met Brad, he was in his early 40s, and the wheelchair was the only thing that was limiting about him. They had 3 kids, he and his wife were there, to see how much more lung function he had lost, because he had been diagnosed 6 months prior. And of their 3 kids, one of them was a daughter that was going to be getting married in the next year. And when they realized that he wasn't going to be walking her down the aisle, they were at least trying to move up the date so that he could make the wedding. So I talked with them and got the information I needed for their tests and everything, and he went back and got done what he needed to. And while they were waiting to go back up to his room, I just couldn't shake this feeling that I needed to go talk to them. But I was a quiet Christian. I loved going with the flow. It was so much easier. I didn't want to rock the boat. I didn't want to upset any of my superiors. And I definitely did not want to make any of the patients mad talking to them about Jesus. But the feeling wouldn't leave me. It just wouldn't let me go. I needed to go talk to them. So I did. I worked up the courage. I went over and I talked with them. thank goodness, shortly in, they found out that they were Christians also, which made everything much easier. And they explained how the ALS had hit Brad out of nowhere and just completely devastated them. And he and his wife had been lamenting through the process. And that word lament, what is that? You know, when we hit bad times, we can either ignore the grief. That's fine, it doesn't exist, I'll get through. We can go into it and live there, just be stuck in the pain. Or we can lament, where we acknowledge the grief, the pain, the hurt. It's real. It has an impact. But then we turn all that over to God, and we lean on Him to get through. And on the other side, we're stronger for it and closer to God. So they had, despite all of the odds and everything they're going through, they decided we're going to trust in God, whatever His plan is for our life. So I walked away from that conversation just feeling pretty awesome. They gave me such a sense of excitement and courage and just confidence to tell people about Jesus and to share the gospel, even at work. Of course, over the next few days in the daily grind and things back to normal, I went back to normal, what my normal was. And then that feeling came again, like, you need to go talk to them. I don't have anything to talk to them about. Well, I have no medical reason to go up and talk to them. I'm going to get in trouble if I go into his room and don't have a reason for being there. I don't care. You need to go talk to him. Like, you need to go up and talk to them. Okay, here we go. I found his room. I went up. I walked in, hoping it was just Brad. But he and his wife and their two sons were there. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Thankfully, they were very pleasant and had a very warm welcome. And when I told them that I had no new information for them, no results, I could tell they were a little curious about why I was there. And I started telling them about how their courage and trust in God had helped me to break through a barrier, even if temporarily, that I couldn't on my own. And that his faith and his trust in God had given me the courage to want to share the love and the grace of Jesus with other people. And he told me when I was done that that's one thing that he had really been struggling with, is what good am I anymore? What can I do? Stuck in a wheelchair? I'm dying? Like, what good am I anymore? What purpose do I have? I checked in on Brad January this year, and they had decided to take him off the respirator because he was just tired and ready to go home to be with the Lord. A few weeks later, his son texted me and said that Brad had passed. And that made me think, the little bit of time that I knew Brad, at the worst point in his life, just him trusting in God and living out his purpose and his role, no matter what the circumstance, just by him doing that simple command from God, and it's not a simple command, it's only simple in the sense that it is one command, just him doing that had a tremendous impact on me and my faith in being able to share that with other people. So, if you are staring death in the face, or anything short of that, there are still untold possibilities of ways that you can impact other people by sharing the love and the grace of Jesus. I forget who said it, but you know, a while back I heard the idea that the people with scars are the ones that we trust the most. And when you're going through the struggles and you lean on Christ and you come out the other side, your testimony is so much stronger from having made it through that, that when you share that with somebody else, the impact is tremendous and so much more than if you hadn't gone through that and trusted in God. So we can question, we can want to fix people, we can want to do a lot, but when our efforts and our goals are in line with what God has in store for us, that's when he can use us most effectively. But we have to remember those simple truths to fall back on, even in the toughest times. God is good and works all things for good. Our purpose is to glorify God, to praise him, and to trust him in all circumstances. And showing somebody the love of Jesus can often have more of an impact than trying to convince them that he exists. God gave us the instructions for prayer and healing. I'm glad he didn't ask me to understand them. I'm glad that all he did was ask me to trust and believe him. Beyond what the Bible has to say, what God has to say, all I've got is my attempts to try and understand things. And I really like things to make sense. I'm much more comfortable in that realm. And so my ideas are that if he heals, it can be a testament to his grace. And we should be willing to share those testimonies of his provision in the same way that we ask for him. If he doesn't heal, maybe he's still got a purpose for us where we're at. Maybe our struggle serves to help bring somebody closer to him. And as tough as it is, we're still living our purpose and doing his work, even if all we can do is trust him and believe him and tell other people that that is why we're hanging on or at all. And maybe that's it, that he can just still use us for somebody else to grow closer to God in the difficult times. And in line with wanting to understand things, the best illustration I've come across for this is that we are all circuit breakers. We're the conduit to God. And when our connection is strong, we can power our lives. We can power those of the people around us. But when our connection gets weak, we're lucky if we've even got a flicker in our own lives. So we can keep our connection strong by turning to God, by reading his word, praying, being in fellowship with him. And our connection is weakened by the distractions from God and sin in all of its forms. Pride, greed, lust, temptation, everything. They are the biggest hindrance to our connection with God. Thankfully, we can renew that connection each day with repentance and prayer. Otherwise, an hour turns into a day, and a week, and a month, and before we know it, we've only got a few fibers of that connection left. And we're just hanging on by a thread. And so I'm so grateful that through grace and mercy, he's given us the ability every day, multiple times a day, to reaffirm that connection with him through prayer and repentance. So this is good and all. I mean, talking about God, sharing the word. But if a picture is worth 1,000 words, and actions are louder than words, we need to practice what we preach. You know what I realized this morning? I never prayed for Brad. You know why? Because I was scared. What if my prayer didn't work? What if you didn't get healed? What does that say about me? My faith must not be good enough. This idea of results and returns and prerequisites for God to do his work. Only praying for somebody when we think they're going to get healed, or when we know they're going to get healed, would be like only sharing the gospel with somebody when we know they're going to get saved. I've got a very little bit of courage out in the world, outside of the church, to talk to people about Jesus even now. I'm trying every day to be brave, to ask God to help me with that, but I am still weak at that. But every time I do work up the courage to do it, to talk with somebody, just to share the love and the grace of Jesus with them, no matter how small it is, it's going to have a tremendous impact. And I just think of all the chances that we would lose to share the love and grace of Jesus with people if we only told them about God when we knew they were going to get healed, saved. And the same with prayer. I need to stop wondering what's going to come of my prayer. What does it mean if it doesn't work? What does it mean if it does work? Prayer is the purpose of prayer. Praying is its purpose. And in the same way, when we share the gospel with somebody, not knowing the outcome, we don't know what role we're playing. Maybe we're planting the seed in their life. Maybe we're watering it, giving it nutrients. We have no idea where we're falling at on that line. But either way, it doesn't matter. We're doing our role, what God created us for, just to tell them about Jesus, to let them know that they're loved no matter what, that they can be forgiven. And when we pray for somebody, we let them know that they are loved and they're not alone. And that's it. That's what we're asked to do, is to love one another, and God will take care of the rest. We just need to do our part. Moses just needed to hold his staff up, and there goes the sea wide open. He just did a little bit, and God took care of the monumental, impossible rest. So if you guys don't mind, now this is, again, I realized this morning that I never prayed to Brad for Brad. So what I would have wanted to say to Brad and his wife while I was in the room with them is that, Lord, thank you for Brad and his wife, that their courage gave me courage. I ask for it, Lord. I ask for complete healing for Brad. I know that when he gets to you, none of this sickness or anything will be left. But I want to ask for your grace and mercy and complete healing on him while he's here. Thank you so much for he and his wife. Thank you for everything you've given me. Just thank you, Lord, and please watch over them, give them peace of mind, give them the strength that they need to trust whatever your will might be. And I wish I would have said it, but I was afraid. So, my sister Bonnie is here this morning. Here's where I don't get it. I love her very much, and the Lord loves her very much. And I know that when we are precious to God, we are so important to the devil. Satan's seen fit to control her life. He has filled it with death, destruction, loss. And he has let her be defined by the shame and the guilt and the fear that have grown out of a lifetime of brokenness. And I've had to watch the person trapped on the inside, crying out, just crying out to Jesus, but never able to break free. And I will not make the same mistake. And one thing to say to Satan, it all ends today. He no longer has any control over my sister's life. So I talked with Bonnie about this ahead of time, and she agreed to come up, and we're going to practice what we preach, and we're going to put this into action. So Bonnie, if you wouldn't mind coming up. So, I just want to be very clear. I cannot heal my sister. The Lord can heal her. And Jesus inside and working through each of us can heal her. All we're asked to do is love somebody. And the Lord will do the rest. Whether I understand or not doesn't matter. What matters is if I believe him. And I do. I believe him. Now, we're all a family here. And although this stemmed out of wanting to help my sister and pray for my sister, it doesn't end there. So if there's anybody else in here that needs healing, and it doesn't matter what it is for, it doesn't matter if you've been on the prayer chain for a long time, you just put your name on the prayer chain, or somebody that doesn't even know what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter if you've been struggling a long time with something, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual. Or you got up this morning, you stubbed your toe. Like, God cares. He loves you. We love you. And we want to take care of our family and help any of those that need healing. So, if there is anybody else at all that would need healing, whether physical or emotional, anything that you've been dealing with, you're welcome to come up. And in the same way that the verses said that praying as a group is more important or has more impact, that's what God calls us to do, and the elders coming together and anointing with oil, He told us what to do in the Bible. And again, all we're asked to do is just to trust him and believe. So I want to offer, if anyone wants to come up for healing, you're welcome to. We'll be here. And then once everyone has come up that would like healing or prayer for them, and again, this is, maybe you don't believe this. Maybe you don't. That's fine. Maybe you don't know if it works. Maybe you just want to tell Satan, no more. Exactly. Like, tell him that he has no more control over you. I'm not going to be defined by the struggles that I'm going through. I'm going to hand them over to God and lean on him. Or if you just don't want to feel alone anymore, whatever it is, you don't have to go through it alone. We're here. That's what the family is here for. That no matter what it is, we never need the details. We never need any of that. We just need to let each other know that we're cared about and we're not alone, that we're loved, and that we can get through this together. So anybody who would like healing, if you can come in the middle here, that would be great. And once everybody has come up that needs healing, I want to offer that anybody who wants to come up around and help us pray, because we need help as a church family to stick together and work together. So anybody that's willing to come up and help us pray, and when you come up, just place your hand on someone's shoulder in front of you so that we're all connected here and just... Lord, thank you. Thank you that we are all gathered together. Thank you for this amazing family. Thank you that the only thing you've called us to be is just the simple, loved children that you made us to be. We hand everything over to you. Please, Lord, just clean us. We hand our sins over. Take them all away. Take away all hindrances that get in the way of us being close to you. Please make our connection strong, Lord. Please prepare us to have your grace and love just pour through us and to those in our family that need healing. That those of us that are out of options, that medicine and doctors can only do so much, and even those aren't working anymore, and we just feel trapped, that the healing, the only explanation would be for your miraculous intervention. Amen. Lord, break down all the walls, strip away all the layers of life that have just accumulated and just buried us and suffocated us. Just take them all away. And Satan, we call you out. You're not welcome here anymore. Out of every crack and crevice of our lives, you're gone. Lord, come in and wash us clean. Fill in every open space so that there's no room left for darkness or Satan. And we know that even though we're going through a tough time, that you are with us and we're not alone. And that we will never forget the purpose that we can have, even in our darkest times, to bring somebody closer to you if we can lean on you and trust in you.
Amen.
Lord, please keep us mindful of the responsibilities that we have for our situations, that if there are things that we can do because of the gifts you've given us, because of what you've already blessed us with, that we can use what you've already given us to our fullest potential and know that after that it's in your hands, and that we can have peace of mind and just trust whatever you have in store for us. We care about our bodies, Lord. We want them to be healthy. But there is something so much more important. And that's what we're going to be left with after this life. And what we're going to have for an eternity with you. Lord, please, please, please. We need healing for the bodies. We need healing for the soul.
Yes.
So that no matter what the outcome is in this life, we know that we are part of your family for eternity. So please just break down any hardened hearts. Just break us, Lord.
Yes.
Please make us humble and know that you will take any debt we've accumulated, any faults we might have. You love us no matter what.
Thank you, Lord.
And please let us just choose to follow you and ask for forgiveness and to have you as our Savior. Lord, thank you for everything that you've given us. Amen. So at the end, if there is anybody who hasn't made the choice to follow Jesus and you're on the fence, keep in mind that you can be sitting on the fence and watching the people with Jesus and watching the people with God. And when the people of Jesus disappear and Satan's looking for you, it doesn't matter if you tell him you didn't choose God, you didn't choose him. He's going to tell you that he owns the fence. So at the end, when we're done singing and everything, if you want to be prayed with or for to choose Jesus, just please come up here, because any day can change. You can get hit with something. You just never know. And the elders with oil and anointing, please, if you, before you go back to your seats, just please stop and they will anoint with oil and then we can sing our closing hymn and you're good to go. All right. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Do you guys?
I do that first?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So at the end, after we sing, if you either want to pray with somebody to make that choice that no matter what happens in this life, you're good for eternity, or if you just need anointing with oil, please come up to the front and the elders will help with that. And again, this is just doing what the Bible tells us, what he has us do.